I love the church. It's not something that I grew up in. I actually was one of those people who sort of came on Easter and went on Christmas, and typically I took a good nap or I doodled on the little offering things. You know, they always had pencils and stuff like that. I think that was a good way of, you know, having kids in the service. I'm happy today to know that our children right now at the sound of my voice are worshiping Jesus in their own way. And I can only imagine that if age 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I would have had the love of Christ, what would I have been able to have done with that? And so maybe you're here today and this is the first time you've been in a church like this, or you've not been to church in a while. I just want to say welcome, because the church is a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place full of messed up people. I'm the pastor and I am one of the most messed up offenders, but I know that because Jesus is, I am more. And so today I just want to look at a few things. This series, we've asked, who is Jesus? Why does he matter? What did he do? Why did he have to die? And so today I want to look at something a little differently, because personally, I find it hard to follow Jesus. I find it hard because many of the things that Jesus asks of me to do, I'm not very good at. I'm not good at loving all people. Amen. I don't know if you drive on the road very much, but you can go down I-20 and I can lose my Jesus in a matter of seconds when that person in the left lane is going slow. You with me? You know, and there's a reason we have horns, and I'm trying to be Christ-like, but it's hard. You see, I could have spent 52 weeks speaking just about Jesus because of all the things that he said, that he did, and that he's calling us to do, but we narrowed it down. And today, I want to bring this to full circle, because I don't think it's just me that finds it difficult to follow Jesus. I bet you find it difficult. Maybe there's a time in your life where you tried to follow Jesus and you went to church, you did the Sunday school thing, and then somewhere along the lines, you just got derailed and you got out of the habit of going to church, and then your view of Jesus sort of shifted. And I just want to help you today to understand that attending church is not about who Jesus is. Being the church is who Jesus is. When we look at this today, I bet some of you in here today, I always often ask this question: why am I the leader of this church? Now, that's not a question I wrestle with daily, but why am I the leader? I bet there are some of you in here, you could lead this church much better than me. In fact, you're probably better at following Jesus than me. And I just see the tension in our lives sometimes to feel, are we good enough to follow Jesus? And so on the flip side, there's some of you in here that if you and I could share each other's stories, you would tell me your story of sort of giving up on Jesus because of something that happened in the church. Maybe you got hurt by someone. Maybe something happened and maybe your pastor left, or maybe it just didn't feel the same. And so you walked away and now you're here today. And where does that leave you? And so we're going to look at the life of the disciples, because I bet your story goes something like this. You were sitting in a sermon like this, listening, and the preacher starts preaching, and you feel like the preacher is preaching it who? You. And I used to feel that way all the time. And so I was thinking about this. I thought, you know, maybe us preachers have this gift. Anybody been to the airport lately? You walk through the what? The scanners? Well, I just wanted to let you in on a little secret. We've got scanners on the double doors here, and it scans you, and it sends to my little computer all of your sin. And so each Sunday, I look at all these sins, and I'm like, how can I just throw snowballs of guilt on you? That sounds ridiculous, right? But I bet if we could be honest, that you've sat in a worship service like this and you have felt a nudge on your heart, not because of what the preacher said, but because of what Jesus was challenging you to do. And I'm going to tell you, I feel it all the time. Whether it's reading the word, whether it's watching someone serve Jesus in a way that I'm weak at, I feel that nudge of Jesus saying, follow me. As we look at this, I just want you to understand that the disciples, and we'll look at them in a minute, they weren't really excited that Jesus was killed. You see, Jesus really wasn't a good rule follower. You know, that's what you kind of take Christianity. We're like, hey, let's just get the five things we need to do. Let's check those off. I did those. I'm good. I'm in. Jesus was not a good rule follower. In fact, he broke the rules often. There was this rule where you weren't supposed to do anything on a Sunday. And what does Jesus do? He goes and heals somebody. And so the religious leaders get upset with him because they think he's worked when in reality, he's done what he's supposed to do. You see, Jesus can break the rules because he's the God-man. And if he's the God-man, he made the rules. And so when Jesus breaks the rules, he's not really breaking them. He's taking the distortion of how these religious leaders have interpreted the rules, and he's totally wiping it away. And so Jesus ends up losing his life for not doing what religious people wanted him to do. I wonder today if maybe we've given up on Jesus because Jesus hasn't done what we want him to do. You see, that tension inside of us was there with the disciples because the disciples didn't expect Jesus to be arrested and killed. They expected Jesus to call the armies of heaven and to take over the city of Rome, to take over the religious leaders. And they wanted a worldly king, but that's not what they got. And I don't know about you, but when I've studied history, normally dead people don't sit on the throne, do they? But that's not the case when you're God. And you come down and become a human and you give your life for your people. You become the King of Kings. And that's the Jesus that we read about today, because it happens in our own life where Jesus came to bring religious oppression down to the ground and to bring freedom in Christ. And I bet, like me, you sat in a church and all you felt you ever heard was what you weren't supposed to do. Don't do this. Don't do that. That's not what Jesus wanted the church to be. He wanted it to be a free life, a better life than you could ever imagine. But what happens is, just like in Jesus's time, the religious leaders took the rules and they twisted them up and they didn't interpret them right. And we do it all the time, because maybe you've been in church and you've had a pastor get up here and says, don't do this and don't do that. I remember when I did go to church in middle school, I remember being on a retreat and the pastor was talking, and one of my friends was like, man, it's bad if you listen to the radio. And I'm like, what's wrong with that? Jesus made those people. They've got Jesus voices. In fact, I was kind of skeptical. I said, you know, this is in the 90s. I said, I've listened to your DC talk tape. It's not better than Dr. Dre, okay? And I would have this tension. You see, I wasn't a very good rule follower when I was an early Christian, but I'll tell you this. Following the rules is not what Jesus is. And we're going to see in a moment that often in church life, we sort of interpret things. You see, Jesus promised something. He promised that the Holy Spirit would come, something of a gift that would speak into the hearts and lives of people. And on the opening day of the church, the Holy Spirit descended on a man named Peter, and he preached, and 3,000 people said yes to following Jesus. You want to know why? Because of the religious baggage and oppression that they wanted to be free from. You see, they knew that following the rules wasn't getting them any closer to their God. And so maybe if they heard this voice of God, the God-man Jesus, who says, follow me, they said yes to that. And so I want to help us today to sort of throw out the religious baggage and to look at the very heart of the gospel. And that's the two words that Jesus said, follow me. You see, Twitter is great. It's 140 characters or less, and they've made a lot of money off the Jesus slogan. But Jesus is still saying today to you and to me and to his disciples, follow me. Don't make it a part-time job. Don't make it a hobby. Make it a full-time expression of who you are created to be. And so as we look at this story today, I want to pick up, because Easter Sunday is not what anyone expected. In fact, Mary and Mary, two women, were going to prepare Jesus's body. And they didn't really know how the tomb was going to be rolled back. And as we know the story, the tomb is rolled back. They go in and Jesus isn't there. Now, I want to tell you, history tries to say that the disciples took his body and hid him. You see, when you do something like that, you can wipe away a movement. But that's not what really happened. And so in a minute, we're going to find out, where was Jesus? You know, often, even when Jesus was alive, the disciples were always asking, where's Jesus? And so now Jesus is going to do the Jesus fashion of his story. Where is he? That's a big rock. And why are his clothes there? And do we believe these two women who came back and said he's gone? I mean, come on, ladies. Are we supposed to believe that? Guess what? The disciples didn't. And here's where we pick up in Luke chapter 24, verse 35, it says, while they were saying these things, the disciples are gathered, they're trying to make sense of this. While they were saying these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. Now, can we say that? I mean, that's a great little line for Jesus to just sort of come in the room. Let's say it. Peace be with you. You know what? If we said that to one person a day, I wonder what Jesus would speak into them. And so Jesus goes on. They were terrified and afraid. They thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, why are you startled? Why are doubts arising in your hearts? Now, I want to pause here because often we don't slow down and read scripture. Why are you startled? Well, first of all, Jesus, we don't know where you are. You magically appeared. Now you're asking us, why do we not believe? I want to tell you what Jesus is saying. You see, kids, some of you are excited to get your Easter baskets. You know, the Easter bunny delivers the baskets. It's exciting. It's anticipation. I can only imagine Jesus's anticipation after he's brought down from the cross. He's been resurrected and he's like, I can't wait till Sunday. I have messed with these guys for 3 years and I'm about to pull the most amazing thing in history. I am going to show myself to them and let's see what happens. Now, you see, you got to think about this for a second, because the disciples, they walked everywhere, literally, with Jesus, talking. That's a lot of time to talk. And Jesus is doing miracles and signs and wonders, and he even tells them, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, but I'll never forsake you. And so the disciples are here, and guess what? Jesus shows up, he's excited. He looks more heavenly than he ever has. And they're like, Lord, is it really you? I mean, really? And so Jesus, as Jesus does, as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Because they were wondering and questioning in the midst of their happiness, he said to them, do you have anything to eat? Now, come on, Jesus. You want to eat? I got questions. Where'd you go? Where have you been? Why did you leave us here? We thought you were really dead. Jesus says, do you have anything to eat? I just love how Jesus messes up the party. They gave him a piece of baked fish. Taking it, he ate it in front of them. Jesus said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and a change of heart and life for the forgiveness of sins must be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I am sending you what my Father promised, but you are to stay in the city until I have furnished you with the heavenly power. That's an amazing text for us to read today, because if we can be honest, Jesus hasn't really shown up in our lives maybe the way we wanted. You know, I don't know about you, but I pray. I ask God for things. It doesn't always happen the way I want it. In fact, most of the time, it's way better than I ever imagined it would be. See, when I felt a call to come into ministry, I just wanted to tell people about Jesus, because when Jesus finally took hold of me, something happened that had never happened before. I heard things differently. I saw things differently. But I won't lie. I was like the disciples. Often I've doubted. Often I've needed to just read the scriptures to remember and see the hands and the feet that were pierced for my sin and my shame, and be reminded that this world is temporary, but God has an eternity, and he's not waiting for us to die to have that life. He's waiting for us to say yes to following his son, Jesus. I want to look at a few things. What does following Jesus entail? First, we accept the call to follow Jesus. I want to just be honest. This is how it works. Typically, you're in a worship service, or you're reading your Bible, and your heart is moved. It's not just pumping. You're not out of breath. It's Jesus nudging you, and he's saying, "Yoo-hoo, follow me." And you're like, "But," and Jesus is like, "No buts. Just do what I'm saying. Follow me." You see, literally, when Jesus said that to the disciples, they would quit what they're doing and they'd start walking with Jesus. Most of us get the follow me, but are you walking with Jesus? There's a reason he walked everywhere. It's for us to take steps in the direction of his life. So first, you've got to say yes. Second, next, following Jesus is about memorizing all of his teachings and doing them to perfection. Not. You see, some of us have that in our mind. We think that we've got to be perfect, and we don't realize that Jesus is the perfection of our imperfection. We don't do good things. Jesus does good things in us. If you can give up and say, "Jesus, I stink at this. I'm not good at anything." Jesus has you right where he wants you. Be humble. It's okay. Jesus is in control. Jesus is going to nudge you to do what he's wanting you to do. No amount of willpower can preach a sermon. Only the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Word of God, can speak. And so Jesus says, love my Father and love my people. Do you know that most of the sins that we struggle with is because we put God second and we put people last? Amen? When you put God first and God takes over your heart, you won't be able to not love people. You see, the power of God is the power that resurrected Jesus from the very people that put him there. And Jesus says, "Forgive them, they know not what they do." We don't know what we're doing. We got to follow Jesus. And that means just letting him have control of your life. The third thing, following Jesus means you're never allowed to doubt again. Not. I doubt all the time. In fact, when I get up here and I say that we're going to do something, I'm about 50% sure that Jesus said that, and the other 50% was the taco I ate. I have no clue. I'm speaking and I'm believing, but unless Jesus shows up, it's just words. And so I'm believing. I was sitting here yesterday at my table believing that somebody is going to say yes to Jesus today. Believing that somebody in here has been turned off by religion, turned off by the church, because you don't know who Jesus is. When you know who Jesus is, he is radical with love and grace and peace and justice. He is the King of Kings, and he is here to lord over all. And when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, amazing things begin to happen. And so I just want to ask you this morning, when you've tried it your way, you see, I was a follower of Christ, and then somewhere in college, I decided to jump over the fence. I didn't really like the life Jesus was leading me to. And I'm going to tell you, I did some horrible things. And at the end of it all, I was right back where I started, on my knees, saying, "Jesus, please help me." You see, what happened is my Jesus that I formed in high school wasn't the Jesus that is. Because Jesus didn't do what I wanted when I wanted it, and so I just gave up. And what I've realized as an adult, as a grown man, as a husband, as a father, is that Jesus leads me to do things, but he gives me the power to do them. And it's not easy all the time to do what Jesus wants, because sometimes it's a little uncomfortable. It's not easy when you move to a new town and you don't know anybody, and you're like, "We're starting a church." And they look at you like, "Okay. Good luck with that." And then you go back and you're like, "We're starting a church." And they're like, "Oh, I have one." And they don't. And then they say, "Okay." You see, a year ago, when we opened these doors for weekly worship, I was freaked out. I had no clue what was going to happen. I didn't even know if everybody was going to show up. I just was believing that Jesus was going to do something. And here is what I want to land with following Jesus. It means we put control and our expectations at the foot of the cross. You see, Jesus did it. He said, "God, is there any other way we can deal with this sin thing?" And God said, "No, I need you to do it." Jesus submitted himself to death on a cross, but God got the last word. because Jesus rose again. And he showed up to his followers and he said, boo, I'm back. You see, Jesus just messes things up. I love it. You know, it's a messed up world that we live in, and there's so many things that are happening. And I just want to ask you, who's your Jesus? Is your Jesus the only one you call when bad things happen? You see, this is what I know about people who sort of say yes to Jesus, but don't follow him. You lose your job. Boom. Jesus, where are you? Your wife says, if you don't go to church, I'm leaving you. Jesus, come on. Your kids are rebellious. You don't know what they're going to do. Lord Jesus, please come into their life. And they've never even been in church. You see, you can't lead your kids unless Jesus is leading you. And I just believe Jesus wants to lead us to a John 10:10 vision, a better life than we've ever imagined. It's why we do this. It's not to beat you up. It's not to guilt you. It's to offer you a life. And folks, I'm going to say most of us are living for the weekend. We just need a day off because we're too busy. We just need to sleep in on Sunday because we don't need anything extra on our plate. And I just want to say, I'm not guilting you on that. Jesus has a bigger story for you than to work a job 5-6 days a week and have one day off. Amen. Jesus doesn't care if you go to church. He just cares that you'll follow him. And if you follow Jesus, it might mean going to church. It might mean serving. It might mean being in a small group. It might mean for the first time in your life, you just say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. And so today, I just want to ask you, where are you? Have you said yes to Jesus and given up? And maybe you're here today and you're like, Jesus, I just need to be convinced again that you're real. Would you please show me your hands and your feet? Because I just need it to be real again. You see, when you see the pierced hands and the pierced feet and you see your sin on a cross, you know that there's something bigger than a mediocre life. And I'm just believing today that Jesus wants to reveal himself again. And so if you doubt, like we all do, just ask Jesus to pull his hands and his feet out because he's willing and able to nudge you. And I just believe today with all of my being as a pastor and a true follower of the Christ, the God-man who died for me. If you knew my sins, you know I wasn't even worthy to be up here. But Jesus says, I've redeemed you and I've called you and I've placed you. And today he's calling somebody in here home to him, to a true relationship, not a religion, not a set of rules, but a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I know somebody in here right now, your heart is pumping and you feel uncomfortable. You might even be sweating because you just need to say, Jesus, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of not trusting you. I just need to follow you. You know, when I gave my life to Christ, I want to say I've said yes to Christ again. I was in a restaurant. I'd almost overdosed on drugs. And I prayed with a guy just in case I had a heart attack from doing cocaine the night before. I've never said that from the stage. It was real. It's 11 years ago. Jesus is real. He's changed my life. I was headed down that road. I know what it's like. I know what it's like even as a pastor to want to cheat. And want to just show up and just hope everybody has a good day and go home. And forget that Jesus is real. You see, we can go on through life with a mediocre vision of Jesus so we can see who Jesus is. And I just believe today that some of you in here just need to give up the fight. And need to just surrender your life to Christ. And I just want to tell you, as the band comes, how this works. You see, I don't do the every head bowed, every eye closed, because it just doesn't work that way. The way it works is this, is if you're here today and you've never said yes to Christ, all you have to do is ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins, and have a new life. And I just want to tell you, if you do that, we're not going to make you come up here. I'm not going to make you raise your hand, but I do want to know. if you are saying yes to Christ. We've got a card here on the Connect card that says, I want to know more about following Jesus. You see, this isn't a pushy thing. This is a will you follow him thing. Secondly, I want to say to those of you who have sort of just been idling this God thing, and you haven't really dived in and you haven't jumped into truly following Jesus, I just want to tell you, I'm not guilting you into it. Jesus is nudging you because he wants more of your life, to give you more, to offer you more. But you can't do that unless you surrender all of you. And I'll tell you, when I surrender my life to Christ, I have to do it on a daily basis. It just feels good to say, Jesus, you're in charge. I'm not. Amen. I need more of you. And so in a minute, as the band sings, I just want to offer you a time during this last song for you to get right with Jesus. And I just say, I respect if you can't move today. I have sat in worship service after worship service, feeling the nudging. And you know what? I just chose to ignore it. But finally, one day, on my own account of messing up, it was outside of a church that I knelt before the cross again and gave my life to Christ, because I just didn't want to feel empty anymore. I just couldn't ignore the nudge of Jesus anymore, and I needed that new life in Christ, and it's here today. And I just want to ask you during this song, will you get right with Jesus? Because Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his Heavenly Father didn't create you just to sit in a church and be idle. He's called you, and he's calling you today. Will you respond? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to worship you and to gather in this place, God. I just believe that on Resurrection Sunday, as we celebrate the life of Jesus, that somebody's going to have new life today. Somebody's going to take hold of that greater life, because you've called us to greatness. You've called us to follow you. There's no greater decision that we can make on this earth other than to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because our plans are futile compared to the plans of the Holy God. Lord, I pray right now, as people are wrestling in their hearts, that you would calm their anxiety. Lord, calm their anxious hearts, because you're not going to ask them to do anything you're not wanting or willing to do for them and in them. And so, Lord, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit, as it is awakening in people's hearts the desire to truly serve you and love you and follow you, God, may they receive that measure of grace. May they receive that unbounding love. May their hearts just explode with joy because of Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would nudge the hearts of your people, and that we would give you glory. Pray that in Jesus' name, we all said, amen.